V103 presents Chicago Speaks with your host, Daryl Dennard.
When I was growing up, my parents, as well as grandparents and grandmothers, really, for that matter, instilled in me the importance of what I called the three A's when it came to school. Those three A's were attendance, attention, and also achievement. I was in school to achieve academically. I was also in school to pay attention to what the teacher had to say. And also, I had to be in school, unless there was some devastating illness that I experienced, and I'm grateful that I didn't experience any illness like that. I can probably count on one hand how many days that I missed during my secondary school year. And it's important because there is a reality that our children, unfortunately, aren't achieving at the levels that they should. And it goes without saying, if they're not seated in the classroom, how can they achieve? Well, we're continuing to trumpet the call to let our children be the best that they can be. And one way is by addressing the reality of truancy. If you're a baby boomer, you remember truancy officers literally knocking at your door if your child wasn't seated in the classroom. Joining me this morning to talk about truancy and what we can do to make sure that our children strive for perfect attendance are several individuals whose opinion and expertise on this subject I respect highly. One is Dr. Judith Allen. She is the Chief Operating Officer for Community and Schools. We also have Dr. Gerald McNair. He is a principal at School District 151 in South Holland, as well as a columnist for the Chicago Tribune and a frequent contributor to this program. And rejoining us are Patrick McCullough. You just heard from him. He's the assistant director over at Tutoring Chicago, as well as Colin Warren, who is a program manager with Tutoring Chicago, and Aldo Pedroso, who is a volunteer with Tutoring Chicago. Before I get to asking questions here, and I want to welcome all of you, I want to give some startling statistics here. CPS defines chronic absenteeism as a student with 18 or more excused or unexcused absences. The Board of Education reported that 49% of low-income students in Chicago public schools were chronically absent during the 2021-2022 school year. In the early 1990s, truancy officers were established, but then in 1997, they were eliminated due to unclear evidence of their effectiveness as well as budgetary constraints. The district's truancy rates remain above the state average. CPS has several programs in place to address the role of truancy. One of them is Tutoring Chicago that we have on this morning. Another is SOAR, and that is an acronym for Student Outreach and Reengagement. And we also would probably have to say that Communities and School also cares about reducing truancy rates. I guess I want to first go to you, Dr. McNair, in terms of you wrote an article dealing with truancy for the Chicago Tribune. What exactly is the reality we're facing right now? Because I mentioned to our listeners, and they know, and I don't want to sound like a broken record here, but, you know, we have to have our young people achieve and pay attention and also be present in the classrooms.
Mr. Dennard, I'm so happy that you're taking up this discussion. It really needs to be a major discussion. There needs to be some public service announcements. We can't improve the achievement gap if we don't improve the attendance gap. Now, if you look at data prior to the pandemic, there are many school districts across the country dealing with poor student attendance. And Mr. Dennard, and for your audience, it has gotten worse. post the pandemic. In fact, when you look at Illinois in particular, chronic absenteeism for African Americans is at 42%. I'm going to say that again. Chronic absenteeism, as you define, if you miss 10% or more of the school year, is at 42% for African Americans. And for Hispanic
49% in Chicago.
In Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are myriad of reasons why, but the reality is some of it is choice. Some of it is poor planning, and it gets worse as the students matriculate through school. And so I love the discussion that you had with the tutoring. And one of the individuals on your panel talked about how enthusiastic youth are, young children are. They are. The research shows that when kids are in the primary ages, Mrs. Denari, they're so enthusiastic, and the parents are so involved. But as the students matriculate, you see enthusiasm decrease. You also see parental involvement decrease. But this issue of achievement, and there's so much money and so many millions of dollars allocated for student achievement, but very little is talked about when it talks about absenteeism. It is a major issue. It impedes progress and success. I wrote that piece in the Tribune probably about a year ago, and Mrs. Denardi went all over the country. I had people contact because principals and administrators, they're dealing with it, and parents. So happy that you're having this discussion, Mr. Denardi.
Well, it's a discussion because I mentor young boys, and you know, I know, and I'm, you know, out there, and we're taking them on field trips, and I know the attention span, Dr. Allen, isn't always where it needs to be. And I also have them read. We read novels. We read scriptures. And I just know, and, you know, of course, this is anecdotal because I haven't taken any empirical research or documentation on this. I just know from doing this for decades that we're not achieving at the level that we, and plus we look at their report cards, but we're not achieving at the level that we should. And it's hard to achieve, Dr. Allen, when Johnny and Sally aren't in the classroom.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a very tough thing to pin down when you don't have presence. And I really appreciate, you know, your invitation for us to be back here again today. And your three A's are still relevant, the attendance, attention, and achieving. One of the things at Communities and Schools of Chicago, we work with 238 CPS schools, and there's another aspect to this that we take into consideration when we're looking at are the conditions of the schools, meaning, is it welcoming? Do the students want to go back to school? Do they want to show up every day? We also have to remember that, you're right, the attention span, having them connected, having them feel like they have a reason to go to school every day is important. So one of the things we see are three R's. So if you look at your three A's, we've got our three R's. The first is rigor. Is what they're learning rigorous? Is it something that they really can engage in and stick their teeth in? Do they really care about what they're being taught? The second, is it relevant to what they need? If students feel like they don't get it, it doesn't make sense, it doesn't translate into my life, why do I need to be here? And we have to remember that children begin to tune out emotionally early in middle school, and then really begin to tune out physically and stop coming to school more so, like Dr. McNair said, in high school. The third R is relationships. If they have no relationships with teachers, no relationships with each other, why should they go to school? I can't tell you how many eighth graders I talk to that say they don't have friends, they have associates, right? So if there's
associates.
No connection at the school, why should I come to school today?
And then probably also compounding that is the aspect of bullying, both in person as well as online, that kids are experiencing right now. Patrick, I want to direct this question to you with Tutoring Chicago. You're listed literally in the research as one of the agencies that CPS looks to help deal with the issue of truancy. How so?
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately are the greatest impact that we can have in that area. There's a few different ways. I think it really starts first and foremost with the relationship that our students build with their tutors over time. They work together for 32 weeks throughout the entire school year, starting in late September and ending in May. And so they really kind of build a relationship. And I think I'm sure there's plenty of research that would back up when students have a strong positive relationship outside of outside of the home, it can really go a long way into in kind of supporting and bolstering some of these key areas like attendance. And so I think that's a big part of it. But ultimately also, I think our students are also making a lot of progress when it comes to some of those core skills like reading and math. And I think when students are seeing success, they have that relationship, they have that cheerleader in their corner. And that's starting at an early age. Again, we work with first through 10th graders, and most of our students are starting in the program as younger students, and many stay for years and years and years. And so by the time they're in 9th or 10th grade, when maybe parental involvement does decrease in some cases, maybe not in all of our cases, but certainly it can happen, having that tutor that's also still there, plus those years and years of skills that have built up, great conversations they've had with their tutors built up, that I really just feel like are continuously instilling kind of protective factors that go against some of those barriers that ultimately get in the way of attendance.
Aldo, I want to go to you right now because you are on the front lines. You were a teacher for several years with CPS. You're a dedicated individual. Following your retirement, you decided to volunteer to tutor people, young people, with Tutor Chicago. How were you able to deal with the aspect of absenteeism or truancy when you saw it? Because I'm sure that when you saw a student that maybe would always raise their hand or sit kind of looking out the window in the back of the classroom, and then all of a sudden they weren't seated in that chair, how did that make you feel? And what exactly did you do in cases like that?
Well, for me, the big concern was the lack of continuity with the student, that once they sort of broke that bond of returning to classes or being interested, it was just that much more difficult to get them involved. So
wow.
I really wanted to avoid getting to that point that they were losing interest in the class, because consider once you lose somebody, you know, they don't get that time back. There's not like some extra time over the summer for, you know, for catch up. Either you make it with the knowledge, or it's going to be, you're going to have defective knowledge or insufficient knowledge the coming year. So the first thing was identifying a student who was sort of slacking off or not being able to keep up for whatever reason, and then trying to identify what the reason is and address it as soon as possible. That was the thing for me.
Yeah, that's a wonderful attitude in terms of bringing out that continuity. Colin, here it is. You have children that are successful right now. How did you stress attendance when it came to attending school?
I look at it, truancy and everything, as far as accountability. You have to hold the student and the parents accountable for their actions. And once a student understands that they are answering to several individuals about their accountability and the reason why they are going to school, they have a better understanding of their future and why they need to be there. You know, I honestly feel, and I don't have the statistics on it, but if the truancy officers actually worked, you know, and if they did, we need to find the budget to bring them back. We need to invest in our students and make sure that this is their future. This is our future. And, you know, we need to, as the African proverb goes, it takes a village to raise a child. And I believe when everyone is involved in that process, the truancy definitely will start to go down with other variables.
Dr. Allen, how do we break this vicious cycle? Because I'm being realistic here. We already talked about almost 50% of our kids have some sort of problem with regard to attendance. And many times they may have a single parent, or they may have a parent that also was truant. How do we stop that cycle and let them know that this particular environment This school environment is supposed to be rewarding. It's supposed to be nurturing. But the only way it can be what it's supposed to be is to have your child in the seat, fully engaged. I'm looking for solutions here because, you know, parents nowadays take a laissez-faire attitude when it comes to mandatory attendance.
Right. And we have to understand that, you know, when we talk about the way things used to be, I don't recall in raising my son or going to school myself if there ever was an option. And that's the other example that we talk about, is that now we've got an option. The fact that you cited the CPS and, you know, in several other school districts will say, you know, 18, you know, excused or unexcused absences. The fact that there's a number there, the fact that people can say, you know what, I have an option. I don't have to go to school today. So part of it is how do we create a network of parents that have a better understanding what's going on at school, to have a conversation with them. Parents don't like coming to school. They don't like coming to school for parent-teacher conferences, picking up report cards, for PTA nights. So why would they encourage their students to go to school? So we have to find a way to encourage parents to create that network. So it's parents working with teachers to get those students into the building. Because we can do it together if we get that bond back. If we get that, it's not us versus them, meaning the education system versus the families, which is what it's turned into. Now it's really a matter of getting parents to understand the importance of participation and getting there. And if that means your child is going to complain, call someone at the school. We can help encourage them. We can help motivate them. But we need that connection between all the adults at the table to work together.
I'm a baby boomer, and I make no, you know, excuses for it. But teachers were revered when I was growing up.
Right.
If the teacher said, sit down, And people that know me, I've been in Chicago for over 30 years. This is my adopted home. But, you know, growing up in the Bronx and in the poverty-stricken South Bronx, when the teacher said, be quiet, you were quiet. I remember, and I just have to put this thing in there, I made a mistake in second or third grade, and I said the word hell. I said hell. And my Irish teacher, she grabbed me by the back, and this would be considered, you know, cause for cops to come and DCFS nowadays. She grabbed me by the back of the neck and took that lye soap that was in that enamel basin at the end of the hallway and said, oh, Mr. Denard has a dirty mouth. Do you know what we do with kids with dirty mouth? Do you want to eat that soap? And I didn't want to eat that soap. And guess what? I never said hell. Nowadays, you know, we go to school, and in addition to the kids not understanding the importance of being seated in the classroom, they also don't understand the importance of respecting the teacher. We're going to talk about the importance of that kind of respect on the other side of the break. If you're a teacher, if you're a parent, if you're somebody that has concern for our youth, I want you to call us now at 833-591-V103. We'll be right back. We are joined this morning by a pristine panel to address not only the causes, but more importantly, how to eliminate truancy. Included in the panel is Dr. Judith Allen. She is the Chief Operating Officer for Communities and Schools, as well as Dr. Gerald McNair, Principal at School District 151 in South Holland. We also have joining us Patrick McCullough, who is the Assistant Director at Tutoring Chicago, as well as Colin Warren, who is a Program Manager with Tutoring Chicago, and Aldo Pedroso, who is a volunteer with Tutoring Chicago. Given the remaining time that I have, I want to get to as many phone calls as possible. And we are going to begin this morning with Christine calling from Denver, Colorado. Christine, thanks for being a first-time caller. Also calling from Denver, your comment or question this morning.
I am calling because I believe the problem is that kids no longer go to school in the community that they live in. It used to be that kids that lived on the same block all went to the same school, you know, block after block after block. So that gave kids a chance to get to know each other. It gave p- parents the opportunity to get to know each other as well. And then when you close down schools based on test scores, those kids, you know, are sent to other schools, you know, increasing the students who have low test scores, increasing the chances of those schools to be closed down. And when you close a school, you're basically, in my opinion, destabilizing the community. I believe that schools basically anchor the
community. And so you're saying it's an issue of proximity and reality. You're saying that the fact that for many of us of a certain age, I literally went to school literally across the street from the tenement building that I grew up in. That was my public school. So you're saying that the fact that many schools have been shut down in the community, and if you want to have your child attend, let's say, a selective enrollment school, that they have to do traveling, and it's not having them close together that presents a problem. Is that a synthesis of what you're saying?
Yes, and let's go back to school choice. There was a time when black parents had their own thing for school choice. It was called using somebody else's address. That was considered illegal. But what happened is that when these communities began to be gentrified, right, that's mm-hmm. when school choice came about, in my opinion.
And so if I were to ask you,
the whole thing of school choice just has created a mess for everyone.
So, Christine, you sound like a very informed individual. And if I were to ask you, what do you consider to be the solution? Because trying to, you know, repopulate the schools in these sort of very unpopulated districts so that a child can literally go to school that's next door to them. What do you consider to be a solution here to making sure that our students are in school?
I believe that all high schools should provide the same thing. I believe that all high schools should provide, like, and so let's move away from just looking at the curriculum. Let's look at what are kids actually interested in, because when you're around kids, a lot of times kids are intimidated by the curriculum. Let's have dance. Let's have band. You know, let's bring back some of those extracurricular activities in the schools. Now, I know we'll say, well, you know, this needs to be funded, but we really need to find a way to make sure that schools meet the needs for all kids and that kids do not have to travel outside of where they live to receive a quality education. If a kid is interested in engineering, let's have something from the basics that will be there for that kid. And that's the thing, is that too many times I feel like we've allowed schools and other communities to provide all of these extra things, and then in other communities, those things are not provided for. And I think high schools should meet the needs of all kids, and they should not have to travel far from where they live just to receive a quality education.
Dr. Allen, very quick response to what Christine mentioned as a possible solution.
Right. Building community is incredibly important. When we look at what we do, and even our namesake, Communities of Schools, we are about how do we get the neighborhood reconnected to that hub, like Christine was talking about. So that means that we need to reinvest in those community schools. We need to make sure that there's something there for these students to attend. Because even though attendance has gone down, when attendance goes down, that means you may not have a dean of students. You may not have a school counselor. You lose all of those school resources. So why, as a parent, would I send my student to a school? And again, I'm playing devil's advocate here. Why would I send my child to a school where they don't have the same resources as someplace where I've got to get my kid on a bus, a train, then another bus, and travel almost an hour to get to another school. So it makes sense, but it is also about us having to work with what we have right now.
Because that's a long-term solution there.
Right. But great talk.
Hey, Christine, I truly appreciate you being a first-time caller. Make sure it's not your last. And how are you listening to us from Denver, Colorado?
Listening through iHeart Radio.
Well, listen, truly appreciate you, all right?
Okay.
Take care now.
One more thing.
Yes,
I was born and raised in Chicago.
Well, that's good. Tell your other, Coloradoans to tune in. They'll learn something, hopefully. Bye-bye now. Moving on to yet another first-time caller. This time it's Joseph calling from Chicago. Joseph, you're on Chicago Speaks. Thanks for being a first-time caller.
Radio.
Go ahead, Joseph. You can turn down your radio for me, and thanks for being a first-time caller. Your comment to question.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. Real quick. I've worked with you for over 27 years, and I hope that I'm not
off the topic. I appreciate your service.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes, and it, man, it's like, to me, it's like almost serving in the military. I mean, Chicago, Southside. And what I found is, and I pray I'm not off topic with what you're talking about, but I found that our workers and teachers, we are literally, it's like we're at war with the parents. And how the children are being raised in home. And it's like there's so much trauma and dysfunction within the home life that there really is no school life. When I mean like school life, like learning and being able to focus, it's so much drama from the home life, from the streets, that they're not even able to focus or function even well. Then on the other spectrum, you got teachers that are burnt out. You know what I'm saying? Because to me, in order to be a teacher nowadays, you have to be a psychologist. You got to be a big brother. You got to be a mother. You got to be a father. You got to be all these things in one just to focus on a group, you know what I'm saying, of children. So with me, it's just, we got a problem in the village. There's a village problem. And, I'm listening to a little bit of what was said earlier. And it's like, to me, we can have the most perfect location, the schools, everything functioning perfectly, perfect curriculum. But still, if there's a dysfunction within the home and these kids, it's still going to be a problem, So I just think we need a major abundance of healing just within the village itself. These homes are just, I don't know. Because when we try to discipline a child, it's like the parents, usually it'd be the parents vouching for, the teachers are the ones that are saying there's an issue. Now, it's my child doesn't do this or my child wouldn't do that. And we're telling them, no, there's a problem here that you need to address, but they get on the offensive. So now we're at war with both the kids and the parents. So who do we talk to?
Well, listen, Dr. McNair has pondered this as a principal. What do you take away from these very, very important comments that Joseph just made, Dr. McNair, and offer him some encouragement here quickly. Go ahead.
And I don't want to get too long-winded. I would tell you to continue, form that, make that collaborative effort, bring parents in, talk about it. But the reality is what gets measured gets improved. There has to be a balanced approach to this. There has to be some form of accountability. And one of the other panelists talked about that. We have to put more pressure on our legislatures to do something in terms of holding some parents accountable and not necessarily being punitive, but bringing them in at the round table. And if all else fails, possible fines. So when we talk about school to prison pipeline, and that's what the caller talked about, school attendance and school to prison pipeline are connected. Schools get admonished when there's high suspensions, and they should if they're not taking steps to decrease that. In terms of interventions. But at the same time, schools can't control necessarily who comes in every day in terms of attendance. And so we have to be balanced in how we are evaluating schools and how we are helping parents if that means some form of accountability. We have over 8 school districts in the state of Illinois. And so on. The caller made a great point when they talked about what happens in certain communities and the depopulation of certain areas from the schools. But when you disaggregate that data, we're talking about a major problem throughout the country, particularly in certain states.
And we have to be seated in the classroom with an emphasis on paying attention. Hey, Joseph, the other thing I want to tell you is that based on my experience, okay, teachers have always been that counselor, have always been that kind of second parent. They've always done that, especially when you look at black women that were ostracized from corporate positions, the honorable position that they took because they knew the necessity of teaching young people was that of teachers. And so they've always done this. But guess what? What they always had back in the day, Joseph, was that they had the parents' support. Parents said, I may not know how to read, but that person that's teaching you knows how to read, and you are going to sit in that chair and learn from them. And when we respect teachers and allow them to use their gifts, teachers like Aldo, what does it mean when you receive respect from a student because of you giving over and above what you're paid to do? Aldo.
Well, it just makes it a lot easier to work with the student. It becomes a more collaborative effort because the student is supporting you in their own education.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate that. And you're a humble individual because here it is. You taught all these years in the Chicago School District public school system, and yet you decided to go back in your free time and volunteer. I just can't tell you enough. Joseph, thanks for being a first-time caller. Please make sure it's not your last, okay?
Thank you so much. Appreciate you. Thank you.
You're very welcome, my brother. Moving on right now, I believe John from the South Side is yet another first-time caller. Hey, John, if you're a first-time caller, I truly appreciate you being a first-time caller. Your comment or question this morning.
Yes, I listen to your station every Sunday morning.
Thank you.
This morning I heard the conversation. I just want to make one quick comment because the last couple of callers answered and agree with my opinion. It all starts at home.
Yes.
You know, I worked in the school system back in the 70s. And
thank
I
you
saw
for your
the
service.
I saw the change coming then. You know, I mean, I worked in a little upper grade center, and these were, you know, teenagers, 12, 13 years old, and they were disrespectful and, you know, just, I was shocked because I didn't see this kind of thing coming up when I was in school, in grade school. And that's why I say it all goes back to the home. You know, we blame it on psychologists and mental illness and everything. But when the parents, you just didn't act out like the kids are doing nowadays because they feared the parents. And if they feared the parents, like the man said, the teachers had the backing from the parents.
Very and much so.
So on. You know, so no. I mean, we can go back and forth as long as we want. But until the parents take back control, it's just a lost situation.
Colin, you're a responsible parent. What would you say to what John says, and how do we let parents know that even if you failed in the past in terms of your parental responsibility, it's never too late and to get back on the bandwagon because the benefits of being participatory in your child's education are so phenomenal. What would you say there very quickly, Colin?
One of the panelists definitely stated it, and pretty much everyone did, is the parent has to be involved. When the student understands that the parent is involved and invested in their education, the accountability is there. And knowing that my mom, father will be at a PTA meeting, knowing that they will be at a school recital, knowing
report
that
report card pickup.
report card pickup, continuously checking in with your teacher, checking in with the principal, the individuals that are formulated to help your growth as a student, that student will understand the importance of them going to school. I applaud everyone on this panel, and I think we have to continue to change the narrative of, I know this is corny, but school is cool.
And school is very cool.
School is cool. You know, I laugh all the time as I call my daughter a cool nerd because she understands that to get where she wants to be in life, she had to attend school and it was mandatory. It was understood.
And very quickly, Colin, because I want to try, hold on for one second. Just tell them, you know, what profession your daughter is now, because I want to let them know that you're speaking from truth.
Right. She is a chemical analyst for the EPA. yes, this is just her second year out of graduating from Spelman. So
go ahead, Meg. Go ahead. Well, I gotta cut you there because I'm trying to get more calls in here. John, thank you for everything that you do, and thank you for your wisdom, my friend, and also being a first-time caller. Please make sure it's not your last. Also, I want to go to yet another first-time caller. It's probably, unfortunately, going to be the last call this morning, and that is Galen calling from Chicago. Galen, thank you for being a first-time caller. Your comment or question?
Yes, I have a comment. I agree with everything that's being said. One of the things that I think that we're forgetting, though, is that entire communities have been dismantled. I mean, people, parents, they can't be involved because they're working two or three jobs to try to make it work, to try to survive. You know, some people don't even have food to feed their kids. They don't have a place to live. They're transient, living in hotels. So I think, you know, there is a structural issue that is happening that, yes, parents need to be involved. Yes, you know, schools need to be invested in. Yes, children need to be able to go to school where they live at. But there are so many other dynamics. It's like it's a wound that we're trying to put a Band-Aid over.
Yeah.
You know, that we just haven't. We know the answers to these injustices, but we just never really deal with them in a real way. And so, you know, what? That's one of the things that I teach at Northeastern. I teach about poverty. I teach about hunger and homelessness. And we talk about a lot of these things at the structural issue of what's happening in the world, in the communities. And so just wanted to kind of throw that out there as well. I was a very involved parent. I was on the LSC. I was on the PTA. My children went to Franklin Fine Arts down in Old Town. But every parent, you know, that's privilege, right? I had resources to take care of my children. And so, yes, I was able to be involved. Yes, I was able to go to meetings and be available to do report pickup. But what about parents that's working two or three jobs?
Yeah, exactly. And then you know, parents that just feel that it's not their responsibility. So there is a very much so a holistic effort that we have to take here. Hey, Galen, please email me your professional information at DarylDenard@iHeartMedia.com because I'd love to have you on and assist in future conversations. Also, Patrick, very quickly, how can people find out more about the tremendous work that Tutoring Chicago does?
Yes, thank you. TutoringChicago.org. I can find everything, enroll as a student, volunteer to be a tutor, and I did want to say that, you know, one thing I failed to mention earlier is that this program is entirely free for families, and it always
listen to that. Listen to that. And Dr. Allen, information on communities and school?
Yes, absolutely. You can visit cisofchicago.org, very similar to tutoring. It's free for students that attend any of the 238 schools where we participate. And we have basically resources connecting students to whatever's in the community nearby and afar.
And Dr. McNair, what's the best way to follow your social media output that you do?
But, you know, I write extensively for different newspapers, particularly the Tribune. So certainly Google me. You'll see different articles. But, Mr. Nard, I thank you for having this discussion. But real quickly, I would tell parents, please schedule field trips during school breaks and make sure you don't always take birthdays off and set attendance goals for your students, your child.
There you go.
That would help.
No day is not a school day. Forgive the double negative there. If it's school, you need to be seated in a chair. So perfect attendance is the responsibility of every parent. I want to thank Dr. Judith Allen, Dr. Gerald McNair, Aldo Pedroso, Patrick McCullough, as well as Colin Warren for joining us this morning.